Welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast. This is Jesus Figueroa at dysfunctionaldysfunctional.com. And today we have an interview with Marina Rice Bader, who is the writer-director of Ava's Impossible Things. We start this interview kind of in a very different place. Before we started talking to her, she was talking to me and asking me questions about what I do. So check this out. From the point where I start asking her some questions. How is Ava's Impossible Things, why is it considered one of your greatest accomplishments, and in your mind, what has made this stand out?
Oh my goodness. Well, I guess it's many things. I mean, it's the evolution of where I am as a filmmaker, although I have to tell you this script and story started out as a very different project, and then many things evolved right before I started shooting, not the least of which was losing a large chunk of investor money. And less than a week before we started shooting, I had to cut the script from 15 days worth of shooting to 9. And that was a massive, massive, setback, but at the same time, and a huge, I don't even want to call it a setback, I'd rather call it a challenge. It was a huge challenge and a big education, but I think that just caused me to get rid of all the extraneous stuff that probably didn't need to be there in the first place and just really get down with the story. I love it because it's a very personal journey, but it's told in a really different and unique and sort of magical way, but it's dealing with very, very tough subjects. It's really an homage to relationships between mothers and daughters. My role as a mother and my role as a daughter, my mom passed 15 years ago, but some days it feels like last week. But I get to discuss in this way two subjects that are very, very close to me. And one is that mother-daughter relationship, and the other is lost love and finding it again and making a choice, your own personal choice, to be happy and to, you know, live your life and not wallow in pain and misery like so many people can do without meaning to, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's getting through a very, very impossibly difficult time and coming out on the other side.
Having this be such a personal journey, how has making this helped you look at your life and reevaluate or just get a new sense of who you are?
A new sense of who I am. I think since these are things that are so incredibly important to me, having been able to tell this story has you kind of got these burning things that you want to do with your life or your career. And so now that this story has been told, it sort of opens me up to go on and tell the next one that I want to tell. But there are so many, you know, every woman is a daughter or a mother. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And on some level, I am telling you that every single person in every single woman in the audience will be able to relate to something that's happening in this film, either as the mother or the daughter or someone who's just gone through this kind of a situation or knows it's in their future. You know, so many of us have. I mean, my mom passed from illness a long time ago, but in my age range, there's so many people out there who are going through these same things that Ava is going through with her mother.
Mm-hmm. You created Soul Kiss Films and have averaged about one movie a year since the creation of it. What helps you, your drive to do so much? Because that seems like a lot for starting.
It is a lot. And, you know, here's the thing. When you don't discover your passion until you're 53, you are in a big hot hurry mm-hmm. to live that life that you finally, you know, discovered for yourself and finally had the, I was finally able to get over my fears and make that huge leap. So I feel like I've just got so much time to make up for, and I'm such a huge proponent of not paying attention to what everybody else says. Oh, it's so hard. How can you? La, 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 la. It's all those things are true, but you can't even really think about them. You just have to, you know, move forward on your own path, humble yourself like crazy, because, you know, a number of the films have been, partially due to crowdfunding, you know, or my ability to make them. And it's a very humbling experience to be out there, you know, asking for money every time you turn around, you know, and being so confident in your project that you're on a deep level fine asking for it, because my whole life I'm not the person who will ask people for things. I never have been. I'm the one who gives things to people, not asking. So it was a huge jump for me, the ability to actually be able to do that. And I can't say I jumped easily into it. It took me a while to get used to it. But now I so believe in what I do. I will ask a stranger on the street to donate $10 to my movie, you know? So I don't even remember what the question was. This is my mind is wandering all over the place. I don't even know if I answer the question. If I ever don't answer a question, just feel free to ask me again.
You answered it perfectly.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, like you mentioned, it took you 53 years to find yourself into filmmaking, and you started off as a photographer. How was that transition?
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I'd spent like 20 years being a photographer, and I always photographed people, actors, some celebrities, that kind of a thing. So I was used to working with people from behind the camera. So that part of it really made the transition, I think, easier for me, as well as being, you know, in a visual business and looking at composition and looking at texture and looking at depth of field and all those other things. Those things really worked for me, and exposures, et cetera, worked for me when I made the transition. I had actually given up photography for a few years before I started making films, because I became sort of disenchanted with the business, quite honestly. I had a celebrity shoot, and they were so awful. I literally because I'd started shooting more celebrities, I went home and I hung up my camera and I called the magazine I was shooting for. I said, please take me off your roster. I am done. I am done, done, done. I'm too old for this shit. So I hadn't been doing anything for a couple of years, and I really just woke up one day and went, God almighty, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I do have had a lifelong sort of love affair with films. They've always played a really super important part in my life. And I thought, gosh, you know, I think that's one thing I could be really, really passionate about and, you know, have a deep personal satisfaction doing, is telling women's stories. And so I just formed a production company and sort of figured out how to do it from there.
Sounds great. I mean, I know exactly the way you feel. I've been doing this just 3 years, and I already feel a little burnt out over the celebrities. Like, there's only a certain amount of questions or number of questions that you can ask, and it's like,
right,
how many times can I ask people, what's your next project? So right. How did you feel working with this person?
Right, the same old thing. It's exhausting. Plus, you know, they have a tendency. Well, not. I mean, I worked with a lot of celebrities that were awesome, amazing, just basic human beings. But this person was. But something always comes up. Either their person didn't give them the right information. They, you know, cancel the thing at the last minute when you're already there with all your equipment. Oh, they didn't realize this was a photo shoot. They thought it was part of the press junket, so they have no clothes. You know, it's just usually some sort of issue, but most of them have been very, you know, lovely when I actually meet them, but some of them just, it just became not worth it. you know, just really did. The attitude of being a very special person. This last one was a very special person. You know, no other people existed, you know, in the room. It was just too fucking much for me. It was everything I could do to keep my mouth closed and say, who the hell do you think you are? You know? Yeah. But anyway.
So, okay, let's get back to Ava's Impossible Things. How do you feel having it premiere at OutFest?
Oh my goodness. Let's see, how do I explain it? OutFest for me, has such a special place in my heart for more reasons than I can go into here, but it made me so completely thrilled and happy and honored. They have so many films submitted to them every year, and to be chosen by them, by a panel of my peers, is really it is just such an honor and such a humbling feeling, and I'm just filled with gratitude. It's also my launching point for my worldwide release, so it couldn't be a more perfect situation for me.
Is there anywhere on social media that people could find you or the film?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. On Facebook, Ava's Impossible Things has its page. My production company, Soul Kiss Films, has its page. And I, Marina Rice Bader, have my own page as well. So there are lots of places to go to send me a message or get information about the film. We'll, you know, as you probably bring it out fast on July 16th, showing on the best screen in town, the Directors Guild of America Theater 1, which thrills me to no end because my entire cast and crew can come and see the project that we worked so tirelessly on look so beautiful. And then that's my launch point for my worldwide release the very next day on Vimeo.
Sounds great. I can't wait to watch this film.
My gosh, I hope you do.
Please keep in touch. I'm more than happy to support you on any other projects you have coming up.
Thanks, Jesus. I really appreciate that. Oh, thank you. I've got a very exciting one coming up next, though. I got to mention it for just a second. Mm-hmm. It's called American Writer, and the last word is spelled R-Y-D-E-R. The protagonist's name is actually America Writer. But I'm creating a female action hero. I mean, she doesn't have superpowers. I'm not doing a Marvel thing, but I don't have the money to do a Marvel thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a female ensemble action film, and the protagonist, America, is just a kick-ass patriot family woman, and she, you know, she is a decorated war veteran, came back injured, dealing with severe PTSD, you know, took her years, like so many vets, it took her years to be able to really figure out how to function well in society. And she finally met the woman of her dreams, got married, had a baby, owns a business, and really is living the American dream that she so richly deserves. And then something comes out of her past and pulls her back into this old life of and she has to figure out how to protect her family along with basically saving the world.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, I hope you will grant me another interview once that's closer to release date.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a great, wonderful day and that your life kind of stabilizes a bit.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I really appreciate it.
Check out Ava's Impossible Things on June 16th at OutFest in Los Angeles. On July 17th, the very next day, you could catch it on wide release everywhere. Check out more of my stuff here on audioboom.com/channel/dysfunctional. If you want more entertainment, check out my blog, dysfunctional.com. Follow me on social media at dysfunctional on Twitter and Instagram, dysfunctional LA on Facebook, dysfunctional on the Good Shows app, now in both the iTunes store and Android store. And check out Dysfunctional on Snapchat, where you can see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff from the events I go to, the people I interview, and just random stuff here in Los Angeles. Don't miss any of my podcasts, so subscribe by going to the iTunes podcast and searching Dysfunctional.
Ava, wake up.
Check out the teaser trailer for Ava's Impossible Things on SoKiss Films YouTube channel.